Okay. And it is being reported. Got it. Just to let you know, my sobriety date is August 25th of 2013. And I do have a sponsor that I'm in contact with regularly, and I'm very fortunate enough to be able to sponsor some guys as well. So I'm grateful for that. And because we're, talking about the steps and then, obviously a focus on resentments, but I'll be talking about how I worked these steps and how I sort of understand these steps and then the experience I've had doing the steps, et cetera. So what I would say is that this is my interpretation of the big book, and it's been delivered to me by my sponsor in terms of how it makes sense to me. I've been super grateful that I found a sponsor with whom he explained it to me in such a way that I got it and that it continues to work for me. So that's all to say, if I say anything that disagrees with what your sponsor is telling you, your sponsor's right. This is simply my interpretation about how it works for me, which oddly enough, we're in a chapter called How It Works, which how about that? And by the way, I love the title of the chapter, just even that we're in, because it's how it works, which means that it must have worked enough. And then how it works, and here's how it works, And so I love the emphasis on both of those things. And the first thing that I think about with the fourth step is, why do I even need to do this thing? And so I kind of re refer back to the third step prayer, I guess. In that third step prayer, it's I'm asking to be relieved of the bondage of self. Which I can relate to that idea of being in bondage, definitely. And it felt like bondage. And I was absolutely without any recourse before coming into Alcoholics Anonymous. And so for me, the word bondage, I could super relate to that. But even then, that's not the goal of it. I want to be relieved of the bondage itself, that I may better do thy will. And then it's to take away my difficulties. So it's not really to take away all the problems in my life. It's to take away the difficulties I'm having with those problems. It's to take away the difficulties I'm having with life. But that's not the end goal. It is that I may better do thy will. And so now I've sort of made the decision. I've made this decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Yet I already kind of made the assertion that, yeah, if there was this God in the world, they sure, he could do the thing if I sought him. And now the question is, am I willing to seek God? And if that's true, then as the big book, or is it the big book? I think it is, yeah, says, and I have these things in front of me because because for me, recovery is in the book. And I have the 12 and 12 in front of me too. It says that the fourth step is the first step of which in this course of vigorous action. I've had some action for sure. There have been steps which re all of the steps required action. I had to make some decisions. I had to do some accepting, make some decisions. Those were it's passive and it was perhaps slow and it takes the time it takes or whatever. But at this point, the book does say to me that this is the first step of which we're really now, getting into this, the fourth step. And I like to think of it as like the fourth step is me really kind of deciding to join the club of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the fifth step is realizing I absolutely belong, that I'm in the right club for me. So we launched out on a vigorous action. So here's something where for me, when I look at, excuse me, the big book and the 12 and 12, how I read it is that I probably ought to do this fairly quickly. And the reason that I say that is, and just, and by the way, I say that, and then I think all of us sort of hem and haw on it. I shouldn't say all, but I would say that it wouldn't be unnatural to want to hem and haw at this thing because it is an unusual thing for an alcoholic or for a drunkard, let's say, somebody who's in the midst of drinking, to want to do active work. But it does say vigorous action. And it says, by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us. And then, and I love this in the in step four in the 12 and 12, which I it just caught me as I was kind of preparing for to do this that let me see if I think it's in the next page, but it's yeah, that since step four is but the beginning of a lifetime practice, it can be suggested that first have a look at those personality flaws which are acutely troublesome and fairly obvious. So I do think it says to be thorough and honest, but I how I read that anyway is that the because we're going to have 10 steps, which for me is kind of a 4 through 9 cumulative in 10 steps, and I get to do more writing as we go, and more will be revealed to me. And as I'm in a more comfortable, compassionate space with myself and with the world, that I will be more comfortable with talking about what happened with that kid in the third grade. But when I'm in the fourth step initially, maybe that kid in the fourth grade doesn't come up, and I don't know that I need to spend 6 months searching my brain to look for that what happened with the kid in the third grade. It's what's glaring, what's acutely bugging me. I know what those things are, generally speaking. As I dig into one, I'll find two more that I was like, oh, right. And so I'll get those out. I think for me, trying to get through this fourth step as quickly as possible so that I'm not stuck in this self-critique mode, because that's what it kind of feels like, so that I can get out, get into that fifth step and get out and start to expel some of these things that are living inside of me. And so I do see it as being vigorous and strenuous, which often means, not finding time for the fourth step, but making time for the fourth step. I also understand it's a big, big ask, for people when they're coming in. But I do find that getting through it and then doing the one thing that I never did before Alcoholics Anonymous, which is getting to the other side of something, actually going through this step. Which is to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us. And so looking at resentments and their associated what I call character defects. And I like too in the 12 and 12 that it kind of it says, hey, let's not get hung up on what we call these things, so long as we get an idea of what it is. The reason I have always sort of stuck with character defects is that when you're writing a play or when you're reading or watching a play, we only get an understanding of that character by their actions and by the way they behave. And so a character defects in my mind is the way that I'm outwardly behaving in the world. Now, as a result, and I get to understand those things, I'll become more comfortable in the world. But if I had to, if somebody said, hey, you have to fix all of your thought life before we can move on, I would still be drinking because my thoughts are, I'm responsible today. I understand that I'm responsible today for my second thought and my first action. And if it's true then that action is the thing, then I think that that is where I see defects of my character, my outwardness, my way of living inside the world that needs to be righted. And I love that, so when we look at the big book, it does have these three columns, and these are specific for the resentments. I would say too that this is a fact-finding mission. It says in the big book, and it talks about, taking accounting of an inventory of what's in there. But with the resentments and their associated character defects, this conversation will be mostly focused on what is undesirable inside of me. But for me, how I handle the assets is more as when I'm relating to the fears. And so I do want to stress that for me, assets are a vital part of the fourth and fifth step process, rather than just doing what I've done my whole life, which is just, here's what's wrong with me. It is also the harder thing for me when I came in. Here's what's right with me. Here are the God-given assets that have been given to me already in the face of these fears. And that's how I would do that. And so, but fears aside, that'll be covered, I believe, tomorrow. and I'm sure expertly and adroitly. But so I love the heading of these three columns, and they do that. They do this a lot. When I'm looking at these three column headers, it's I'm resentful at the cause and affects my. And I love that right here initially, that middle column is called the cause, because that is how I view that column when I come into Alcoholics Anonymous. That this these rascals, this is what they did, right? This is what they did, and it's making me feel bad. And if they stopped doing it, I'd be fine. And it's a lot, I'm on there too. You know, I do find that the remorse is a part of this, or shame. And so I do certainly find myself on this list quite often. And, you know, if only I would stop doing this, I would be happier, as if I don't have any power to stop doing it. And the fact of the matter is, I didn't. Because if I did, I would have. I only have found that power since being an Alcoholics Anonymous and turning that power over to somebody that's greater than me. You know, before Alcoholics Anonymous, I had a power that was equal to myself. I didn't have a higher power. I just had me. And I lamented the fact that I couldn't have a relationship with that higher power. But since I was the king of self-pity, I simply lamented, and that was it. And so I love that they say to do these three columns, and then doing those three columns was as far as most of us got. And I can relate to that. And I love the fact that the cause is up there. And when we look at these three columns, I'm resentful at would be the person, or it could be an institution, or it could be a principle. So I could be angry at love because I don't feel it. I could be angry at the concept of family because every time I hear it, I'm so furious about the fact that you all think that family is a good thing, and I, because of my past, can never get there. And so, you know, and then the resentment is also at everybody at the meeting that says family in a positive way. And then institutions could be anything. It could be Alcoholics Anonymous. It could be the judge who sentenced my DUI, you know, or not the judge, but it could be the court system. It could be the world for disallowing drunk driving. You know, whatever it is that has inconvenienced me enough to cause me to say they are unfair and unjust, and the world is conspiring against little old me, that out of 7 billion people in the world, I'm the one who is the most maligned. And then it affects my, and there is this list, and my sponsor told it to me this way, and it's a great way for me to remember it, which is SPAPS, SPAPS, which is self-esteem, personal relationships, ambition, pocketbook, or it's also referenced as security, but I view pocketbook and security as being essentially the same thing, meaning that I want financial security. You know, I want this sense of security. I do like security as well, because it does extend outside of the just the financial, and if SPAPS would still work if you had two S's. But then the sexual relationships. And by that, I understand it to mean surely around sex, but romantic relationships, or relationships that were beyond just pals and things like that. Any relationship where sex could be involved. So for each resentment, then I do exactly. Oh, and I should say too. So when I work with a guy, I ask him to bring a notebook and separate it into four specific sections. The first section for the resentments, listed in these columns as is laid out in the book. The second section would be the character defects, and I ask them to, you know, number them so I can reference the character defects for each resentment back to one another. But I do think it's its own section, because it may be too extensive to sort of fit into a little column. And so it just works better for me. And then fears, and then the sex inventory. So, you know, the book says, go do this list and then come back here and let's take a look at it. You know, let's create this list. I don't always follow that exactly. I do also talk about the character defects as it relates to this list, but But nevertheless, the idea is go make that list, because I think for a newcomer, it's going to feel a little bit more comfortable to write down all these people, the reason, the cause for why they're bugging me, and then what it affects inside of me, without even having to yet assign any of our own struggles inside of us that may actually be participatory in this. And get that list out there. And again, as said, expeditiously, I would say, you know, to really make the time to create this list, because that freedom is on the other side of these things. Ultimately, we're heading towards freedom. It is scary. It's nerve-wracking. And it is something that I didn't want to do. And when I, you know, I'm lucky enough to work with guys, I could tell you that to a person, they basically don't want to do it. So it is a tricky thing. And it's new to us as you know, drunkards that are turning into alcoholics, you know. And so when we finish that, you know, whatever it is, you know, and I do like too, especially the Mr. Brown at the top, where it's Mr. Brown and then one cause, and then what's affected by that one cause, and then Mr. Brown again, you know, there's like told my wife, my mistress, and Brown may get my job at the office. And so each one has something that's affected by each of those individual resentments. So I do ask guys, like, for each resentment is where you have a line item. And so Mr. Brown for me could have three particular. Mr. Brown, his attention to my wife. Mr. Brown told my wife of my mistress. Mr. Brown, Brown may get my job at the office. So that each resentment has its own line item. And so that a person might have, you know, multiple resentments that I would have against them, because I do need to get down to these causes and conditions. I, you know, specificity kills ambiguity. I live the life of ambiguity, and I need to get into specifics here. The other thing that I ask the guys is to make your resentment no more than three lines long, because it needs to be, here's the life story of my relationship with Mr. Brown. Nope, because that's just as ambiguous. It is, you know, that rascal, he has attention to my wife. Okay, man, that's something. Now that's a real thing. And it's honest. You know, it's I came in with a whole lot of self-deception and dishonesty that I was not even aware of. And so to say, you know what, son of a bitch is looking at my wife. Fair enough, man. Whether it's real or not, it's true, you know, to you in that moment. And so let's get to what's going on there and what it affects. The other thing that my sponsor has me do is add A and B for each resentment. And A is, might this person be spiritually sick like me? And I have, so for only for people, you know, for obviously for institutions and for principles, this wouldn't apply. And B, might this person be a beautiful child of God? And he has me answer those questions for each resentment. And then we get into the defects of character associated with each resentment. And, you know, what I would say is, okay, so for each person, then, so now I'm writing the defects of character. I've created that list, and now I'm on the defects of character. So for each person that is on my resentment list, if I wrote A, that they may be spiritually sick like me, then the first character defect my sponsor has me put, and I have my guys put for every one of those, is unwilling to accept that another child of God. If I also put B, then unwilling to accept that another child of God may be spiritually sick like me. And instantly that starts to level the playing field. You know, as I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous, what I'm really searching for now more than ever is how can I take other people off the hook? My hook still exists. How do I get them off the hook? Oh, they might be spiritually sick like me. It's a start. You know, they may be spiritually sick like me. And then we look at these other character defects. You know, the 12 and 12 calls out the deadly sins and all those things. I think there's are absolutely right things to think about in terms of for me, you know, and they've opened the door and I get even more specific, you know, self-righteousness was a huge one for me, and grandiosity was a huge one for me. And what was surprising to me was, well, I had such a low opinion of myself, and that was grandiosity. And that was a big surprise to me, that I was other than and lower than everybody else. I was lower. So that meant that I felt as though I was so special and unique that I was lower than 7 billion other people. And that grandiosity was killing me, you know, and so many other things. Unwilling to rely on God is a big one. Not accepting life on life's terms, which, you know, has evolved in my understanding over time of what that means, is that I don't accept, you know, I don't have to accept life staying as it is. I simply need to accept that life is this way today and then take action as necessary, or to not take action as necessary, based on how life actually is. And as soon as I'm willing to accept that, I don't have to drink at it, possibly. And if I don't possibly have to drink at it, maybe there's action I can take. And maybe I start to develop this sense of responsibility in the world for my actions and my place in the world, which is a big deal for someone like me who did not, you know, I was just like, well, this stinks, glig glag, and then I'm out, because I like to live in the fantasy life where I'm the king of the world and don't have to do anything for it. So the fourth step does require of me that I step up and I start to do this stuff. And I get all of those character defects down. I have a list that I give to my sponsees only after they've had at least a week of trying to decipher their own character defects. I then give them a list and see, you know, do any of these feel right as well for these? And perhaps, you know, you could start to look at this list. And the list didn't come out of thin air, I can assure you. It came out of my own fourth and subsequent 10 steps. It is not a short list, and it is something about which, because I'm able to do fairly regular 10 steps when needed, I do ask every day that those, and this is now seventh step, which is somebody else's job, but I do ask every day, and I list them out, that these character defects be removed. And since in my life there have been times when those character defects have wanted to come up and didn't, I also thank my higher power for removing them. It's not to say they're gone forever, it's to simply say that they no longer spring to my character, but rather I have an opportunity to pause and say, oh, maybe I won't tell that guy to go pound sand, you know? And that's God. Because if I ask God in the morning to remove retribution, and then I'm in a situation where I feel like giving retribution and I don't, that must surely be my higher power at work for me. And simply just saying this, remember when you asked me to remove that? It's your call now. You do you it's you're in the driver's seat, but you did ask me to remove that. And that's what I kind of hear back there. And sometimes I say, thanks God, but I'm gonna go for it. And thankfully, and excuse me, I've been having this cough. And thankfully, as a result, now we have a ninth step. So that I don't, once I've gotten these resentments and these character defects all listed out, I still don't have to do it perfectly. This program doesn't require that of me. It understands that I'm a human in a way that I never did understand about myself. And then that I'm an alcoholic. And so I'm a human with an acute sense of self, an acute way of placing myself in the center of my thoughts. And it gives me all of these opportunities to remove myself from the center of my thoughts. You know, self-centered sounds like a negative, you know, sort of like what we would call the popular kid in high school. Oh, he's so self-centered. Look at the way he brushes his hair all the time or whatever. But how I understand it to mean is that I'm simply in the center. Myself is in the center of my thoughts, and it's often, and it can be loud, and so Alcoholics Anonymous gives me an opportunity to get out from under that. But nevertheless, as we then go through those defects of character, it starts to become evident that that middle column that had been labeled the cause, it starts to become a little bit more obvious that that may be that these may be the conditions, and that these defects of character inside of me are the cause. Because if those defects of character didn't exist, then perhaps I wouldn't feel strongly about these things. Perhaps I would disagree with them, and perhaps I would have a sort of comfortable way of discussing this with the people on my list. But I wouldn't have this sense of having been so wronged, when in fact the cause is inside of me, and the outside world are the conditions under which the causes start to spill outside of me in ways that, again, before Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't have any power to do this. And now, so once we have these all out, and then we do the fears, we do the sex inventory, then it's time to get into the fifth step. Now, what's interesting to me is that the fifth step is covered in into action. Well, I thought I was already into action, right? It said that this I needed to do action, and here it is, I already did it. But this is where I think we get into real humility. You know, it is we've been granted this bit of humility at the start, you know, and I love what Bill's says in his own story when Ebby comes and visits him, and he says, and he looks at him and he says, "What power did he have inside of him than I inside of me?" And I had to admit that was nothing, and that floored me. And what I understand by the phrase "that floored me" is it put him, like, you know, he was very, very specific about his wording. And so, like, humility kind of comes from this word humus or humus, meaning of the earth. And so when he says it floored me, it means it put him in that place from which he could start to hear things and hear things differently for the first time. And I love that wording. And so that's now what we're doing is we've said that we're going to dive into our higher power. But if I don't share this, if I don't bring another person into this conversation that I've done in my fourth step, then it's, you know, then it has the potential to be the same thing it's always been. You know, a sort of muddled, rough, like, yeah, I guess, you know, I have these character defects, maybe, but not really. So I'm not going to put that one down. And God, you get it, you know, and God heard me. So it's all good. But this is meant to be an active participation in my recovery and an active development of my relationship with that higher power, not simply a passive, hey, God, you get it, but a real active participation. And for me, that has always meant bringing another man into the room with me. You know, what is that phrase? I don't remember it, but it's I saw it. Yeah, I can't remember, but essentially the thing at the end of it is that it's only when I have somebody else in the room do I really find that peace and that connection with my higher power. There is something about the tripod of two people and God in the room that I just feel his presence. And so, well, its presence is, as I would relate it. So then I just get honest with this other guy. And again, so we, as the book says, we kind of want to expedite the fourth step. We want to get those things out there that are really bugging us. That includes and must include those things that I had told myself I would never tell another living soul about. And that's where I got honest. And you know, I didn't want to do it. And, but then, you know, my sponsor said, yeah, well, me too. And here's what. And, or yeah, you know, that's fine. And I can say that today I don't, yeah, Pamela, put it in. That's the one. I sought my soul I could not see. I sought my God eluded me. I sought my brother and I found all three. Thank you for posting that. But now I don't have any secrets. You know, it doesn't mean I go blathering around all these things to everybody, but there's at least one cat in the world who knows everything about me. And that's a big deal. It keeps me humble. It keeps me a part of instead of other than, and I desperately need to be. And that's where this fifth step gets me into being a part of for the first time in my life. Instead of being this and you guys all over here doing your thing and me out here, I was willing for the first time in my life and had a program that showed me how to come into the middle and be what is my true self, because this is a lie. I'm feeling a lie all the time, and now I come in the middle and it become what is truthful. So with 3 seconds left, I hope that was helpful. And thank you also very, very much for your time. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, John. Really appreciate that share. Thank you. AA has no dues or fees for AA membership, but we do have expenses. The Seven Tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's expenses, the Seven Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. We are observing the Seven Tradition digitally on Venmo. You should see our Venmo information in the chat. Our Venmo address is beacon-group. Please take a moment to make a contribution if you can. If you do not have a Venmo account, but you would like to send a contribution through the mail, please message the leader and they will supply our address. All our contributions